Simon Tzadikhes, it follows. The Mechaber Paskins, you don't have the Shonar, but I'll just say it over. Hamispala Tzorach Sheikhami Belibo, Pirish Hamilo Shemotzi Biswasa. What do you have to do? You have to have Kavana for the words that you're going to articulate in the davening. V'yachsho, you have to think, Ilu Shechina Kenegdo. Now, what are we talking about? Obviously, we're not talking about Shemona Esrei. As in general, whenever we speak of someone who's being mispalel, of course, we know there's an entire tefillah. We have begun to speak about Bechas HaShachar, if you recall, already a number of days. But I just want to introduce this general halacha, which is a very important thing. So we're talking about Shemona Esrei. You have to assume the Shechina is in front of you. V'yosir kol ha-machshava sator nososo. You have to remove any machshava that would impede your ability to have proper kavana, which means, essentially, all your machinery that you carry with you. All your digitalized machinery. All your...
iOS 205,
you are making headway. So you have to remove all the machshavos, achetishor machshata v'kavanos v'zakat v'filosos, and you have to assume that as if you are standing in front of whom? If you would stand in front of an earthly king, you would obviously do so with a certain degree of veneration, derecherets, and the like. Kal v'chomer, if you're standing in front of Hashem, Yisbarach. That's in Tzif Aleph. In Tzif Dalet, the Mechaber then goes on to say, Atfilah hi b'makom korban. That's the Gemara in Brachos that you're learning. I mentioned it the other day. There's a machlokes in the Gemara. Can you remember whether Tfilah keneged avos tiknam or keneged karbanos tiknam? The Rambam has to pass in both. Rabbi Paskin's both opinions that Fila corresponds to Karbanos. We mentioned the Karban Talmud Shel Shachar, the Shachris, the Karban Talmud Shel Ben Abai and his Mincha, and night times the Mishnah and Brachos that Beis Vadal, that says what? Hekta Chalam Meivarim, the Eivarim that remain in the Mizbeach Kol HaLaila. That's one opinion. The other opinion says, no, Fila is Keneged Ovos, namely Avram Yitzhak, Yaakov, Mabusakim, Shachris, Mincha, and Meir. So in effect, Fila is Makum Karban, and therefore, the halacha is that if I have a Machshava, which is a foreign machshava with Avin and Karba, the Karba is possible. So here also, that's what the Mechaber is telling us regarding this matter. It's very interesting that many have, you know, the I assume you're familiar maybe with the first Abchaim Briska, and the Chidush Abchaim Alev Yad Amman is a very famous Abchaim Briska, maybe the most famous of them all because it's the first one. So generally people start to learn it, and usually after they don't understand it, then they stop running Abchaim HaLevi. At least that one, they got it. So the Abchaim HaLevi said there are two types of Kavanah and Tefillah. He's bothered by a Gemara in Brachos, of course. We didn't get to it yet. Namely, that there are two Kavanahs that are critical. One is the Kavanah that I'm standing in front of the Shechina. That Kavanah, the Mechaber says, has to be extant and operative the entire Shemoneh Esrei. Correct? Every Brachos Shemoneh Esrei requires the realization and the recognition that I'm only the Tnei Hashem. I'm standing in the presence of Hashem. However, there's another kavanah which is ma'akev only in the first Brachos Shemoneh Esrei. What kavanah is that? Pirush HaMilah. You have to know the translation of every word of the first Brachos Shemoneh Esrei. And that's what Abchaim speaks about. Two different types of kavanah. One that is essentially required in Tzai Shemoneh Esrei. That's really, I would say, integral to the Maisa Tefillah. That's what the Mechaber says here in Tzadikhes. That sense that I'm standing in the presence of Hashem, and that's an overarching and overawing kind of sense that has to be present every Brachos Shemoneh Esrei. However, Pirush HaMilah, translation of every word, that's ma'akev in which bracha? The first Brachos Shemoneh Esrei. That's what the Rav Chaim points out. And maybe I'll mention that this idea of different kavanos in davening, which is really the subject of a lot of discussion among many, I'll just mention to you the Beis Yosef. Means the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch, he also quotes that. Let's say, he actually mentions it not in this Siman, but he mentions it a bit later in Kuf Dalet. In Kuf Dalet it says, it's a Mishnah Brachos also. You're not supposed to be Masik to Shemoneh Esrei, correct? Even if a king comes to you, you're not supposed to respond to the king. The Gemara there tells a story. But the fact of the matter is, you're not allowed to be Masik to Shemoneh Esrei. And it's interesting, if you a person is Sach, a person talks in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, b'mezik, which means that deliberately. You decide to be massive Mishnah Esrei, what's the halacha? That's a hefsek in the tefillah, you have to start again. That's the din, you have to begin the Mishnah Esrei anew, because you are massive in the middle of the tefillah. Now, what's the din? If I make a mistake, for example, in the middle of one of the 13 brachas of Mishnah Esrei, what are the intermediate brachas of Mishnah Esrei? Do you have to go back and start from the beginning of that section? We said the Mishnah Esrei is divided into three sections, right? Section number one is called Avos. Then we have the second bracha is Gevuros. And the third is Kedushas Hashem. What is that entire section called? Shabbat. We mentioned the Rambam Shita is that Tefillah is min HaTorah. What do we mean when we say Tefillah is min HaTorah? Three elements of Tefillah min HaTorah. Number one, Shabbat. Two, Lakosha. And three, Hodah. So we have the Shemoneh Esrei divided into three segments. First segment, this is the three brachas, they're all Shabbat. The middle 13 brachas are considered to be Bakosha. We ask Hashem for all kinds of different Bakoshas. And then finally, Hodah, we thank Hashem at the end of Shemoneh Esrei. So if I make a mistake in the middle of 13 brachas, right, I made some error. So what's the din? You have to go back to the beginning of that bracha. You don't have to start the 13 brachas again. However, with reference to this halacha, if a person talks in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you have to go back to the beginning of davening, because all 18 brachas are considered to be as if they are one bracha. But there's a distinction between a person who makes a mistake and one who talks. Because one who talks in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei deliberately, I'm not saying where you had no choice. You were an ones. And you had to be mafsi. But assuming that you did it deliberately, you were not in an only situation, another vulnerable circumstance. So then the halacha is that's a hatchet in the tefillah. Because shechita kenegdo, the entire tefillah is like one bracha. You know what I'm saying? Let me just add one more thing, if you don't mind. That in general, and this is also a very fundamental principle that, again, I just wanted to mention by way of akdama to what I'm going to talk about today, and that is, how do you go about fulfilling this mechaber or Rambam? How do I have kavod in tefillah? How do I go about having kavod in tefillah? So I think there are several ways of doing it, and I imagine you're probably aware of all the methods I'm going to tell you. Number one, daven from a siddur. That's a klal gadol, daven from a sefer. Even though probably all of you know this from a siddur heart, I imagine, but it's always best to daven mitoch a siddur. I always try to daven from a text. Sometimes I'm stuck, I'm at a wedding, I daven ma'ariv, and I don't necessarily have a siddur available, although I carry one on me, so that takes care of that problem. But that's why I carry it, because I'm very makbid to daven from the text. And normally you should have kavana. And if you want to know that they say over in the name of the Gro, the name of the Vilna Gaon, the Gaon said it's a pasuk. It's not exactly a pasuk that deals with this specific issue, but the Gaon, because he was a very astute fellow, so he tried to find the makor for everything. So there's a pasuk in Megillas Esther. I don't know if you remember that pasuk. Anyone here familiar with Megillas Esther? Anyone Lane? Anyone about Balkarin? Okay, good. Maybe you'll remember the pasuk. It says, "Omar im ha-sefer, yoshuv machashavto ha-ra'a, asher chashav al ha-yehudim la'asov, v'salu atov yet banav al-ha'etz." So the pasuk does not mean what I'm about to ascribe to it. The pasuk means something totally different. But the God said, "Omar im ha-sefer," he said with the sefer, "Yoshuv machashavto ha-ra'a." If a person wants to avoid, shall we say, having machshavos that will distract him, what should you do? Im ha-sefer. I'm happy you are smiling, because it's obviously not the trap of the pasuk, but it's a cute little thing. Okay, you wanted to say something first, I'll get to the other eights in a moment.
I
yes.
I want to know what constitutes as an ones, the situation where a person is ones to...
Well, I mentioned earlier to this wonderful young man here, Ari, that people are not aware of this. Let's say for a moment the person is in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, and then you realize you don't know the Shemoneh Esrei b'chol, but you feed that together. So what should you do? Just stand there? You can literally go to the Aron, get a sitter, and go back to where you are. That's an ones. It's an unavoidable circumstance. You can't go and continue to daven. You just don't know the Shemoneh Esrei b'chol. You thought you did. Perhaps you forgot the bracha. A child is crying in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. So what do? Everyone pretends they don't hear a child cry. It's difficult to pretend, because then he's the level of the cry tends to increase in his decibels the more you ignore him or her, whoever it may be. So what's the halacha? You're allowed to pick up the child in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, even though in general you're not supposed to be basking in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. This is called an ones, unavoidable circumstance. We have no choice but to. And even if you have to move your feet and break your posture of standing with your feet together, you'll have to do so as well. Because that's an ones. I can give you many other situations, but you can more or less, yeah.
Do you continue where you left off, or do you restart?
No, you continue where you left off. Because you're not talking about someone who deliberately decided to talk and be massive in the middle of an essay. If you do that, you have to start all over again. However, if there's an ones, or a person made a mistake, then the middle 13 brachas, you don't have to go back to the beginning of that section. But rather, you go back to the beginning of that bracha that you made a mistake. Let me just mention two more things. If I can, just in terms of kavanah, and you should be aware of it, there's a Rakhai Malojana, there's a Talmud of Vilna Gaon. There's a sefer called Nefesh HaChayim. Maybe you heard of that sefer. A very beautiful sefer. Someone in my shul just translated it into English. What a monumental, gargantuan, formidable task. And what he did is mind-boggling. 5 years. His name is Avinon Frankel. He wanted me to write a haskama, but I'm not worthy of writing any haskamas. So I told him, he thanked me because every time he completed one section of the sefer, he gave it to me to look over. And I wanted to make it more user-friendly because Nefesh HaChayim is a very weighty tome. I don't mean weighty in terms of weight. Weighty means heavy, cumbersome, not an easy read, if you will. So I try to tone it down. Anyway, Nefesh HaChayim, one of the things he mentions that says something very, very, very beautiful. I don't know if you are aware. Again, this is something that Gedolei Yisrael were very mocked about. When they daven, every word was articulated out loud. Not only that, the way they daven, they try to, almost I would say, they could see the letters of the word that was in front of them. That's how slow they daven. Each word was pronounced, was enunciated, was articulated, and they almost like a tzayar, like an artist, had the letters in front of them, and obviously, as a result of that, they were able to daven with tremendous kavanah, especially the Shem Hashem that we say very often in the Shemoneh Esrei, etc. They were very extremely makpid regarding this matter. I'll just mention also the Chafetz Chaim Zatzal, that before each bracha in the Shemoneh Esrei, he would stop for a moment and would think about the bracha I'm about to make. Who does this? Who does any of this? I mentioned three etzas. Etzah number one, we mentioned, is that daven from a siddur. Etzah number two, articulate each word, enunciate each word. But also, try to see the words in front of you. If you go so quickly, people daven at the faster than 186,000 miles, is that what the rate is? I'm not sure what the speed is. Oh, you're the scientist now. After the chlorophyll, what? Yes? You're daven faster than the speed of light. That's how people daven.
Yeah,
faster than the speed of light. I'm just joking, obviously. But number three, and item number three is that the Chafetz Chaim before the end, before each bracha, the Shemoneh Esrei, he would stop for a moment and think about the bracha. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Several comments. Yeah. Go ahead.
When you're davening, sometimes I realize sometimes in the middle that I sort of lost kavana and I catch myself saying words, and I forgot that I said the few, like, I don't remember saying the few brachas before. So are you supposed to start from where you think you were before, or where you
this
are?
This morning, a fellow comes to me, this morning, a balabas, that was in my shul, he comes to me and says, Kvada Rav, and he loves a chem, it's Baal Shemoneh Esrei. I don't remember if I damaged the customer. I said, what?
I've had that
for me. So this is where we're
holding. I don't have the whole Shemoneh Esrei, like, let's say.
I said, listen, what should I do? I said, if I'm not mistaken, even though I didn't see it, because I stand with my, we're all facing the front. So I said, I think you were davening together with us. It looked to me like you were. I saw you in the slichus, and then I saw you afterwards davening Shemoneh Esrei. I mean, davening Shachar with us, so I assume you davened Shemoneh Esrei. That's what I told him. And I think that's a correct psalm. He literally was not sure what was actually happening. He said, I don't understand. What exactly happened? He said, well, suddenly in my mind, I was thinking about some very significant issue in my life that I had to take care of today, and I push it for God. So I think, the Mishnah Berurah writes, by the way, we know the din is Ve'ikra din, you have to go back and daven again. The Rambam writes in Halacha, Hilchos Tefillah, but we don't pass like this.
But I thought it's a Tzricha Kavanah.
Yes, you're asking a good kasha. Especially if you hold to din daraisa, but luckily only the Rambam holds the tzilz daraisa. All we shouldn't hold the tzilz rabbanah, and generally the assumption of Mishnah Berurah, which is tzilz kavanah, is only mitzvah daraisa. Doesn't mean that the rabbanah doesn't require kavanah. Of course, you have to have kavanah, but is it ma'akeh? But the Berurah always writes that to go ahead and expect people to basically, you know what I'd be doing? I'd be Shai David. If every time I didn't have kavanah, I have to do davening again, I'd be davening the entire day. That's what I'd be doing. Okay, it's true. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halavai Shis Baal Olam Goyim Kulo." Gemara Brachos. But the Rishonim explained what that Gemara means. But I'm saying to you, we generally don't go back when we don't have the proper Kavanah. We have to lechatchila try our best to, it, as best we can, to muster up the proper Kavanah. And I'm just giving you three Eitzos that I think are very good Eitzos, that are not my Eitzos. I mentioned back in the day as well. Number one, to daven Mesidah. Do you always daven Mesidah? Everyone here? You should try to. I also don't always daven Mesidah, but I carry a Mithamayev in my pocket. And I'm never usually davening Shacharis without a Siddur. Because that already, I don't know probably the entire Shacharis Balpeh. And that's not true, I probably do. But I don't know it, shall we say, to maybe I'll skip a word or two. That could happen. We're all human beings. So davening from a Siddur. Number two, as I said, try to enunciate each word. I'm not saying you have to daven at the, you know, the tortoise in the hare. Do you remember?
Yeah.
I'm not saying you have to daven the way the tortoise moves along, but daven at a pace where you can actually appreciate what you're saying. And number three, if we can do what the Chafetz Chaim said before each bracha in Shmoneh Esrei, think about the bracha I'm about to make. Wow, what a, that's no simple matter. I'll just point out as well, it's interesting, Rav Soloveitchik once commented, why, you know, the first thing we do, if you open up the Siddur for a moment, what's the first thing people generally say in the morning? Or at least it's printed in the Siddur. Okay, that is true. But that is when Mr. Brewer possibly could say it even in bed, because there's no Shem Hashem involved in Bodhani. So Mr. Brewer. But I'm putting him in the Davi. Once you come into the Beit Knesset, come into Shul, what's the first thing that, take a look at page 11 of this Siddur, what? Right, Matov Olacha Yaakov. Essentially, we're talking about a, we're about to enter the Shul, Matov Olacha Yaakov. But right after that comes something else. What is that? I don't know. Why do you say I don't know at the very beginning of the Davi? So, there are many explanations. I'll tell you the explanation of Rav Soloveitchik, which is always creative and imaginative and exciting beyond belief. I don't believe that's the real reason why we do it, but he has his own suggestion. But first, let's start with his suggestion. The Gemara says there are number, the Gemara in Brachas. Oh, everything's in Brachas now. But since you're learning it, so I decided to just quote Brachas off the bike. Masechet Brachas. The Gemara says there are a number of things that require chizuk. What does the Gemara say? You learned it last year. I don't want to test you. But anyway, the Gemara says there are a number of things that require chizuk, and one of them is what? Tefillah. What does that mean, it requires chizuk? So, the Gemara, and Rashi actually explains this pasuk. Rashi says, how do you know tefillah requires chizuk? Because it says, Kaveh al Hashem, Chazak, V'yam Sibecha. So it says twice, Kaveh al Hashem. So Rashi says, what do you see from there? That tefillah requires chizuk, because we're repeating the pasuk, we started with it. So our Salvechi said the following. He said, isn't it fascinating that you look in the Rambam, Hilchos Tefillah, and many, by the way, have this practice, and we don't do this here in Yeshiva, but many, in many circles, what they do is the Shliach Tzibur only comes up to the Amid to be a Shliach Tzibur at one point in time? After Pesukim Dezimra, really, at Baruch Hu. By Yishtabach, this is a Minhag Yeshivas. Minhag of many Yeshivas, they don't have anyone Pesukim Dezimra, they know what time they're going to say the Baruch Hu, and that's when the Shliach Tzibur gets up there. If you look at Rambam, that's the Mashmos of the Rambam. The Rambam says explicitly, that's when Tzvila Mitzvah, so to speak, begins with the Baruch. By the way, this fits the Rambam especially because the Rambam held, as I mentioned already more than once, that can I skip Tzvila the Zimra if I come very, very late, according to the Rambam? That's right, that's the Mechaber Shita of Yosef Karo. I skipped all Tzvila the Zimra. Ashkenazim don't hold like that. We discussed it, Sarah, if you remember. But Ashkenazim hold, Mishnah Berurah says, he quotes in Mishkas Yaakov, you have to say minimally, Bar Shama Asher Yishtabach. Minimally. Can't get away without that. But according to this father, you can sit the opposite of the Zimra, and you start with Baruch Hu. Good. So now, many have a practice, and you have it, even the Chutzaritz. Ashkenazim don't always have it. You start with Baruch Hu. How does davening end, according to this father? Let's say, not on, according with Ashkenazim, not Monday and Thursday, but with Sfaradim every day. At the end of davening, what's the last thing people do in davening? Baruch Hu.
Oh, Baruch.
You say Baruch Hu at the end of davening?
Yeah.
Yes, you do. Do Ashkenazim say Baruch Hu at the end of davening? Depends where you daven, that is really a factor. But Monday, Thursday, you certainly don't, Ashkenazim, because they rely on the Baruch Hu they heard where? In Kriyas HaTorah. But not Monday and Thursday, do anyone say Baruch Hu? There are such practices of people who say Baruch Hu. So the Rabbi asked, why? Why do you start with Baruch Hu and with Baruch Hu? The answer is, Tefillah requires Chizuk. You're making a statement to Hashem, I'm ready to daven all over again. I'm ready to start the whole process all over again. Another thing that requires Chizuk, the Gemara said, besides Tefillah, Torah requires Chizuk. Asalvetchi said, where do you see that? So he said, on Simchas Torah, what happens? What do we do on Simchas Torah? We start reading the Torah again. We finish with Zos HaBracha, and then we start Bereshis. What's that? Based on the same halacha. The Torah requires chizuk. Show Hashem, I'm so committed to the Torah, I'm ready to start all over again. Very beautiful idea. So therefore, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? Adon Olam. Notice in your siddur, I think many siddurim have this. Shabbos, you really see it. More on Shabbos. You start with Adon Olam, and how do you end most, many shuls, many synagogues? How do they end with the tefillah on Shabbos? What's the last tefillah they sing? Adon Olam. The rabbi asked why? Because tefillah requires chizuk. Hear this? Very original thinking of Rav Soloveitchik. However, that's not the general reason why we begin with Adon Olam. Many say the reason why, because what's in Adon Olam? What do we have here in Adon Olam? We have a number of theological premises, very fundamental. You really have here a number of shemos of Hashem. Because we're going to use different shemos of Hashem in the course of davening, right? The question is, what do they mean? How are you supposed to know what the shemos of Hashem mean? The answer is Adon Olam, you have a definition. Which shemos of Hashem do you know? Daniel, you have several shemos that you probably are familiar with. Number one, Aleph, Dal, Nun, Yud. Next, number two, Yud, K, Vav, K. Number three,
Shakai,
good. Number four, Elohim. Okay, there are others and there actually are variations. But these are probably the main ones. What do they mean? What does the word Aleph, Dal, Nun, Yud mean?
My master.
You translated it very beautiful. But what does it mean, my master, in what sense? Adon HaKol. What does it mean, Hashem is Adon HaKol? It means legally, He is the owner of the universe. Legally, juridically, judicially. I'm trying to speak English. He is the proprietor of the universe. How do we know that? Found right here in Adon Olam. We are translating the shame of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Adon Olam, and then we mentioned a few other things. That namely, against Aristotle. You know, Aristotle, his conception was that the universe is eternal. Do we subscribe to that? Obviously not. We assume that what? Hashem created the world. It's like the first pasuk in Chumash. Bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim es haaretz. It's a fundamental concept. Found here also. So Hashem pre-existed, correct? Prior to the universe being created. The Torah called Yetzir Nivra. And it continues. Then it mentions, V'hu hoya, v'hu hove, v'hu yiyya. What shame Hashem is that? Yitgivokim. That's a shame Hashem Yitgivokim. By the way, there's Gatzah Shulchan Aruch. I assume you're aware. If you learn Shulchan Aruch, you undoubtedly, there's a simon in Shulchan Aruch at the very beginning, namely? Not even before Kriyat Shema. Hey, simon hey in Shulchan Aruch tells you that you have to have the proper kavanah. Number one, when you say, Al-Dal Nun Yud Shuhu Adon HaKol, that Hashem is the proprietor legally, there's a Gemara in Brachas. I hate to bother you again, but since you like Brachas, the Gemara says, who was the first one to call Hashem by the name of Al-Dal Nun Yud? I'll give you a hint. It's in Bereishis. Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu said to Hashem, Hashem Elokim b'moed ki yirashena. I hope I'm not, you know, I told you, I'm better than a soporific. You see, I'm better than a soporific. That's a sleeping pill. Sleeping pills generally take a few minutes to work. I work instantaneously. That's why I'm a very good rabbi. I'm an excellent rabbi. People, at least on Shabbos, are able to get on the Shabbos. Shina, the Shabbos time. That's a better question. The moment I begin to speak on Friday night, the place is out cold. Now, generally, Friday night people are tired, so I do understand why they would, but I just help them along with it. So really, they should give me a big yashikah. You know what happened once? Once I spoke, usually I speak about 20 minutes. So once I spoke for 5 minutes, and then they started davening. So the guy woke up and told me he thinks the rabbi is over in Gezel Shina. Because he expected the rabbi to speak for 20 minutes, and the rabbi spoke for 5 minutes. That's a Shiloh Gezel Shina. What do you say, Heskey? So, here you have a definition of terms. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, and then it mentions Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hoya Hove V'Yiyya, and then Elohim. What's Elohim? Elohim is the idea that Hashem is? Baal HaKochot Kulut. Excellent. He is omnipotent. That's Elohim. Midas Hadin. Or Elohim, if you will, the Ramban defines it, that Hashem, oh, this is good. This is excellent. The chlorophyll in that orange. Did you notice that the oranges were green downstairs? Why are they not orange?
Supposedly they're really good.
They're very good.
Yeah. They're actually excellent. They're really good.
Even though
they're
green.
I don't know why they're green though.
This is the question that was posed to me, but I answered this young, wonderful gentleman who deserves a mazel tov because his sister got married. What's your name?
Alexander Yaakov.
Wow, what a beautiful name. A lot of Gedolim were called by that name, Alexander. It's hard for you to believe. Your English name, I assume, is Alexander. That makes sense. So what was I about to say? So he asked me about the chlorophyll. Where did it go? I said, I'm not an agronomist. So I hope you'll find the answer. I'm very curious, as you know, about this matter. But anyway, the oranges and oranges well, whether they're green or they are orange, they are really quite tasty, quite aromatic. I suggest I buy them. Anyway, I'm back over here. So many say, the reason why we say Adon Olam in the morning, you know why? Because we are defining all the Shemas of Hashem with Adon Olam. And since we're going to use them in the course of the davening many, many times, first we have to have a definition of what we are doing. And that's what the Mechaber says over here. And really, I think this is a very, okay, it's not our salvation explanation, but it's a very beautiful explanation. Anyway, I like the explanation. I think it's a correct explanation. And I think we should try to the extent that we can, we should adopt this explanation. Since I'm at it already, I may as well add a few more things along the line. The Rambam has a famous Rambam, but it's also mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. And the Shulchan Aruch tells us that it's very important to try to daven b'tzibur. Of course, this is the Gemara where? And daf ches in brachas, as we are into brachas. The Gemara says that in HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moeis b'tfilas and Sharabim. Hashem does not reject the tefillah of the tzibur. The tefillah of the tzibur is always accepted. The tefillah of a yachid, is not always accepted. Why? Because the yachid comes to Hashem. And now Hashem says, okay, you want to come on your own? Well, let's examine your slate. Let's see what you're holding. Whether you're worthy of the tefillah being accepted or not. But once I join a tzibur, I can be someone who is absolutely beneath contempt. But since I'm part of the tzibur, Hashem has no choice but to accept my tefillah. It's a very beautiful Targum Onkelos. You're probably familiar with it, I assume. And my father, Hashem, was very into Agamar and Brachas. Shnai and Mikra Vechatagum. You do that? I hope so. Yes, Hashem. I hope you'll begin to do it. The Gemara says, if you are my doctor, you shine mikra v'chatagum, you will zonche to long life. Ma'arich al-layam v'shnosa. One of the schools mentioned in the Chazal. There's a school mentioned in the Torah. That's a better school. But kibbel avayim. You'll be zonche ta'arich ha-siyamim. So I hope you all will be zonche ta'arich ha-siyamim. And you'll be kind of mitzvah kibbel avayim. Kiel chasa. Not so simple. Quite complicated. There's almost always a gap between parents and their children. I include myself in that, shall we say, the gap between myself and my children, and between myself and my parents, that's for sure. But it's a very significant mitzvah that I want to try to be mekayim. And yozovit arich l'siyamim. That's not what I wanted to say, though. I was shnayim mikra, yachad targum. That's a very significant mitzvah. There's a beautiful targum onkelos in Parshas Vayechi. That Yosef was promised an extra chelik by his father. What city did Yosef get? Shechem. You know what Shechem is? What do they call it here in Eretz Yisrael? Nablus. Not a simple city. And the whole area is one big balagan. N-A-B-L-U-S. Nablus. Shechem. There are people who go there. It's actually under our cousin's control. But Bres of Chassidim are very into Shechem. And people go there from time to time, some mostly legally, thank God, some illegally, and then it could be pretty, shall we say, hair-raising. It's not an area that you would like to find yourself without protection. Anyway, so the pasuk says, Yaakov says to Yosef, "Vani nasati l'cha Shechem achar alachecha," I'm giving you one extra portion. Hashem lakachti miyad ha'emori v'charbi v'kashti. There's a Targum there. What does v'charbi v'kashti mean? I captured it, said Yaakov, with my sword and with my bow. What does that mean? Says the Targum, b'tzlusi u'b'usi. What's it between tzlusi and b'usi? Tzlusi refers to tefillah, and b'usi refers to bakasha. What's the difference between the two? One is really tefillah b'tzibur, and one is tefillah b'yachid. So there's two famous comments of the Brisker Rav. Who's the Brisker Rav? The uncle of Harav Soloveitchik, is that so? A brother of Avraham Soloveitchik?
Again.
Why don't you have a seat?
Alright.
It's a pleasure to get to know you. And 2 days in a row, one more day, you'll have a chazaka. You know what that means?
Chazaka.
You have no choice but to come.
Oh. Every day, man.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Baruch Hashem, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Fine, just
Just fine? What's the difference between fine and well? I have to see you. I'm just asking you a simple
question. What is fine and well? Fine is okay, well is good.
Which one is, would you say, a more superlative term? Is there not a third term that you would use? I'm fine, I'm well, I'm good. People tell me all the time, I'm good. It's a very modern expression, I think, what I gather. What does it mean, fine, well, and good? Which is, when you would rate these, correct, on a scale, on a pyramid, which would you say is the highest or which is the lowest?
Fine, good, well.
Anyone agree with me? I'm
well,
fine.
Well,
fine,
well being the highest.
That's right. That's what he said.
Fine, good, well. Yeah.
I'm fine, and then the middle expression, I'm good. He is saying that fine is less than good.
I would say good, higher than fine.
Well, that's the same. I'm asking, I don't know. I'm just asking.
Yeah, so fine, good, well.
Okay.
No, I'd say good, fine. I'd say.
Are you talking about the bottom or
I'd say
fine.
Good. Wait, I don't know.
Anyway,
bottom.
What do you
good
see here?
Good, fine.
What do you see? There's a machlokis among the achronim over here. A machlokis among the Dalei Poskim. Which, how do you categorize these terms?
Me?
No. What's your first name again?
Ari.
Okay. See, a machlokas here among the Dalei Poskim. Yeah. Okay, but I'm back to what I was discussing, which is, you came in the middle, so I'll explain it to you again.
All right.
Yaakov gave Yosef an extra measure of an extra chelek, and then he gave the city of Shrem. You ever heard of the city of Nablus? Yeah, yes, Shrem. The English is called Nablus. It's not, unfortunately not in our hands at this point in time. The rest of the Chassidim would like to go there, hopefully with, shall we say, the army behind them. Otherwise, it could be a little hair-raising. Don't travel there by yourself.
All right.
Thank you.
That in mind.
So the Targum translates over there, B'chaybi B'kashti, that Hashem, Yaakov said that I gave Yosef Shrem, that I captured from them, B'chaybi B'kashti, with my sword or with my bow. What is the term sword and bow? What is it referring to? Okay, how we captured it. But there's a Targum there. Unkelus, you heard of Unkelus?
Yeah.
Unkelus Agir? So, Unkelus translates the pasuk, B'chaybi B'kashti, B'tzlusi U'bosi, two types of tefillah. One is tefillah B'tzibur, one is tefillah B'yachid. So why is tefillah B'tzibur compared to a sword, and why is tefillah B'yachid compared to a keshet, to a bow, an arrow? So the Briskerov, you heard of him, Abel Mosavichik, my Rebbe's uncle, and the Meshechachma, who wrote a parashah Torah, both have the same explanation. Others also have. But these two are known for this explanation.
All you need is a sword to fight, when you need a bow and arrow, you have multiple.
You're saying something good, but I'd like to add a little bit. A cherev, the moment the person draws a sword from its scabbard, and then you, shall we say, go ahead and apply it to the, how shall we say, to someone's innards, that could be rather catastrophic. A bow, however, an arrow, the effect of it depends on what? How taut it is. The more taut, the greater the effect. So that depends on what? On the amount of pressure a person can apply. So that's what they both say. If I join a tzibur to daven, a tzibur is all-powerful. They're like a sword. The Gemara says, Hashem always accepts the tefillah of a what? Of Klal Yisrael, a group of people. That's why it's always better to daven how? The tzibur. Mm-hmm. While a yachid comes to Hashem, and Hashem looks at the person, and Hashem says, are you worthy? Are you not worthy? It's like a keshet. It's like a bow. And of course, if you have more schuyot, translate schuyot, you have more
merits.
So then Hashem will accept the tefillos. If you don't have so many merits, you will be in, shall we say, a pot of hot water. You'll not be doing so well. So that's the difference between tefillah b'tzibur and tefillah b'yachid. Wasn't it kedai to come just to hear that? Ari?
Of course.
Hashem, he's a tzaddik. He's being very kind. Over the kadir, I compelled him to come in there. I raised tzar b'al chayim. I'm a tzar there. Of course, there's a lot of anguish and angst. Chesky, don't you think so? Okay, so that's why. It's a very interesting. There's a comment I saw once about Chaim Volozhiner. He's the Talmud of the Vilna-Gaon. You familiar with him? So Rav Chaim Volozhiner started Yeshiva Volozhiner. He's a Talmud of the Vilna-Gaon. There's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos that says Alti Rasha Bifnei Atzmecha. What does that mean? Very strange Mishnah. Alti Rasha Bifnei Atzmecha. Don't be a Rasha by yourself. You don't know what the words mean. Rav Chaim Volozhiner says a very striking shot. Don't daven b'yichidus. Means don't daven by yourself. Always join the tzibur. Why? Because chas v'shalom, if you daven b'yechidus, you might be called a rasha. Why? Because since tefillah b'yachid requires an extra dimension of kavana, and generally most of us don't really. I'm thinking about myself, not about you. Both of you have kavana. I'm proud of it. But this morning I mentioned that before, a young man came to me, and he actually he didn't have to come to me, but he came to me because I know the rabbi in my shul. So anyways, he came to me. And he wanted to know, what would the rabbi of the shul say? I happen to be the rabbi of the shul. But he wanted to know, what would the rabbi of the shul say to the following question? He was embarrassed. He said he wasn't sure whether he davened Shemoneh Esrei or not. Yeah? That can happen, trust me. I said, what? He said, yeah, he had a pressing thing on his mind. He just didn't know if he davened Shemoneh Esrei. So what should I do? I said, I'll tell you. I don't think you have to daven again. For two reasons. One, because who knows what will happen the second time. You'll daven again, and you also won't know if you're daven or not. I was half joking. But then the other part was that since he was in the shul together with all of us, and I saw him, we can assume that whatever everyone else did, he also did daven or not. Would you not say so? But unquestionably, it's better to daven b'tzibur. Would you not agree? Far better to daven b'tzibur with a group of people, because the power of b'tzibur is overwhelming. Hashem always listens to the tefillah of b'tzibur. You don't always listen to the tefillah of Yachid. Yachid requires enormous kavana. It's like that kesher, like bow, that has to be very, very taut. Otherwise, the tefillah will not be accepted. So therefore, that's why, once you try to daven b'tzibur. Yeah?
It's similar to the idea that I once learned that that you should surround yourself with as many people as possible, because come Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur time, when you're being judged by Hashem, if you're not going to be spared for your own merits, then you'll be spared because other people are dependent on you, and they need you. So the same thing in Zibor, because of their merits,
absolutely
be
gorgeous.
Spared.
Beautiful, absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. So if you're like a big gadol, is going to have like
the Fury and a what?
A big gadol.
Yeah. Oh yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, that's fine. I just knew what you said. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, what's the point? Like, you don't really have to dive into the name.
Okay, but Ochozov, it's always better to join Klal Yisrael, as you mentioned, and in general, even Gedol Yisrael basically davened b'tzibur. There were a number of Gedol Yisrael who davened b'chidus, but very few. Really, you have to be of such stature to daven b'chidus, and you're right, the Gedol Yisrael are of such stature. You know, they claim that the Briskers, who are many of them davened b'chidus, they're in a different, they're traveling in a different stratosphere. But the ideal is, of course, daven b'tzibur. That's really the best thing to do. Okay, wow. What a schus to have all of you. And may Hashem bless you. Wow, thank you. Shekhar. 2 days in a row. One more day means the chazaka. That means you can never not come here.